Thank you so much for making the time to talk to us today. For you, when you look at the theme here in Davos, responsive and responsible leadership, what does it say to you?
It says to me that the world is gradually beginning to realize that we need to grow in a manner that's all-inclusive, and that us as leaders, be political or private sector leaders, we have a responsibility and a duty to think beyond ourselves, beyond our businesses, and beyond the government that we're on. It's all about humanity and mankind, and that you cannot live in an isolated world. We need the world we live in and the world we want to leave behind to be one that has common prosperity, and the one that makes leaders know that we have to be responsible, make leaders know that we have to be responsive, and know that leadership, attaining leadership as a height, is not an end on its own. It's a platform for you to do good and to do well. And so it's good that once in a while, as global community, we remind ourselves of this, that there's good and need for responsiveness and responsibility.
How do you apply that then in the way that you approach your investments, the way that you do business?
I would say that I believe in the intersection of business and humanity. Okay, and that intersection of business and humanity is what I call Afro-capitalism, and it's what has shaped the investment philosophy of myself, my group, and I'm beginning to get associates to also key into it. And simply put, Afro-capitalism is a realization that the private sector, especially in Africa, has a key role to play in developing our continent, and that this can be done through, even though we are not in government, but through investments. So the power we have is the power of capital, the power to make investment decisions, and how we should make investment in key sectors that can help us to catalyze the African economy, create economic prosperity, and create social benefits for everyone. That, in my viewpoint, is what will help us bridge this income, this inequality we have. That will help us drive an all-inclusive government and business. And that will also help us make sure that there's eradication or drastic reduction of poverty and massive employment opportunities for people. And most importantly, engaging and mobilizing our women folk so that they can come into the mainstream, get empowered, because we know that economic empowerment for a woman goes beyond the woman and her family to the communities. That we must all do. All of this we should all do to drive inclusiveness.
For a long time, we were talking about Africa Rising. That was the theme at many a World Economic Forum meeting, whether it was the Africa chapter or the annual meeting. Now, of course, many of our economies are going through some trials and tribulations. Are you optimistic that we can turn things around?
I'm very optimistic, because even now we have pockets. We have some countries in Africa that are growing very well, among the top 10 in the world, countries like Cote d'Ivoire, Senegal, and Co. We also have struggling countries like my country, Nigeria, and South Africa, the big countries. But the truth is, there are huge opportunities. You know, it's a bit of our reliance on commodity prices in Africa. So the new narrative should go beyond Africa Rising to Africa industrializing. Let's begin to industrialize Africa. We have the population. Our population is a huge dividend for us, but we need to mind that dividend very well so that it will be to the benefit and for the benefit of everyone. The African story must go beyond commodity story. We must begin to delink our economies from, you know, if oil price or commodity price go up today, we're doing well. If they go down, we're not doing well. We need to industrialize so that we can create local value addition, which will help us withstand shock. But going forward, what do I think? I think that we're learning. We're learning the hard way, though. And most governments now, that's the theme of the new government in my country, Nigeria, now. Most governments now begin to think of diversification in the true sense of it, because therein lies the future.
And which areas do you think Nigeria could be diversified?
Nigeria is hugely endowed. There's so many areas. You know, there's agriculture. Again, I want to go by the first endowment is population.
Mm.
The right population, the demographic structure of our population is good. We have a lot of consumers, a lot of young people coming up. But we must engage them economically so that they're active, otherwise they become social challenges for us.
Absolutely.
You have agriculture, you have minerals, different minerals. But as I keep saying, if you have huge market and you have people who are enterprising, Nigerians are extremely enterprising, very hardworking. And that's also what you see across Africa.
Mm.
So what we need to do is to see how can create economic open opportunities for these young ones. And that is why my foundation, the Tony Elmelu Foundation, is trying in our little way to help to provide economic open opportunities for others. I know we try to, through the $100 million endowment that I put in place, to identify 10,000 Africans that will support 1,000 every year.
Yeah.
So that ultimately, all of us will have shared prosperity. And this, in my viewpoint, ought to help us achieve inclusiveness. And when we achieve inclusiveness, we achieve true peace, you know, and security. When we don't achieve it, it's going to be a threat for all of us.
When you look at those young people, the ones that you've supported so far, what do they tell? What do they tell you about the future?
They tell me that there's hope. I just did a short blog on my Instagram. If you have time, visit. I think it was posted on my Facebook too. Inspiration from Obama. I listened to President Obama as he was delivering his farewell message, and I talked about the similarity between he, President Obama, and us, and about he believes in the power of power, access to electricity, and two, he believes in entrepreneurship.
Yes.
I believe in entrepreneurship, and what I see in the faces of these young Africans that I interact with is the fact that these are energetic people, highly enterprising, very cerebral, very brilliant people, people who are dogged, and people who don't want to take no for an answer, and people who want to succeed, and people who see their success as success for the community and for the continent, but they need help, they need support. So I see hope in them. In fact, I'm supposed to be giving them hope, but when I see them, I even get hope from them, inspiration that the future will be good for Africa. So everyone should try to see, you know, to me, it's like, even if it's 10 people you can support a year, if you're in doubt, you have the resources, let's go ahead and do it. And they all must not come from your village or from your family or from your town. Prosperity should spread across the continent.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.